Erev Tov, everybody. Okay, I guess this is our first time. I mean, even though I feel like I was just sitting in this exact spot not that long ago, learning, davening the Olam Latrufa, Rabbi Nosson's letters. It really feels like it was like yesterday. But I'm looking around and I'm seeing like this is the first time that we're together. So I want to just first of all thank everybody for being here. I say thank you to Hashem that Shechiyanu v'Kimanu v'Giyanu that made it back to this spot again to learn and to connect with Reb Nosson. Everybody knows Reb Natan was? You could say no. I'd much prefer you say no than say yes and not no. Do we ever really know Reb Nosson was? Reb Nosson, come. Reb Nosson of Breslov was a human quill. He was the moon to Rabbeinu, to Rabbi Nachman's son. The shofar that faithfully transmitted Rabbi Nachman's voice for eternity. He was the Yoshua ben Nun, so to speak, of Moshe Rabbeinu. Talmud Muvak, the Mamshech of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Zechusu again, Aleinu. And Reb Nosson is more alive and more relevant, and his writings are more current today than ever. So we're going to try over the course of the summer, whenever we can, to grab a couple minutes here and there to kind of read some of his writings. Earlier tonight we learned a beautiful piece from Likutei Halachos. I'm trying to look around a few who were there. The letter that we're going to learn now, that we're going to kind of daven with now, is very different than Likutei Halachos. I'm familiar, I mean, I'm seeing half the room was at the shir earlier, but Likutei Halachos, I'm familiar with Rabbi Nosson's writings. Have you ever come in contact with Rabbi Nosson? Well, Rabbi Nosson was a poet. He also was a gaon. He was a brilliant man who had the entirety of Torah revealed and concealed at his fingertips. Nigla Nistar at his fingertips. The person was an incredible masmid, and someone who lived in the real world. His writings on Shulchan Aruch, called Likutei Halachos, are so illuminating and so absolutely beautiful and deep. And it's like this incredible flow of consciousness that opens up worlds of understanding and thought based on the order of the Shulchan Aruch, of Jewish law. His Likutei Tfilos, or his personal prayers, his tefillot, based on his reaction and his emotional kind of conclusion that came out of Rabbi Nachman's teachings. After Rabbi Nachman would teach a Torah, would say a Torah, Rabbi Nosson would turn that Torah into tefillah. The theory would kind of go into practice, so to speak, and be brought down into the world of prayer. We have all sorts of nice ideas. We hear great vorts, and we read beautiful books, and we hear great shiurim, and our world and our life, thank God, is filled with incredible information. But that gap between knowing and understanding and actually feeling it and living with it and breathing it and having it be something which is like part of our kishkas and part of our moment-to-moment consciousness, Reb Nosson is bringing it down through his tefillot, through his prayers. There's a collection of pieces of advice that he heard from Rabbi Nachman and the conversations that he had and heard from Rabbi Nachman. And then we have a volume called Alim Latrufa, Healing Leaves. We have a collection of letters that Rabbi Nachman wrote to his family and his friends. He didn't have WhatsApp then, and certainly didn't have social media or email, telephones, but they wrote letters. He wrote letters. And the basic difference, without spending too much time introducing this, I just want to kind of get to it because it's late. I mean, the primary difference we always feel when you're reading, say, the letters of the Lubavitcher or the Igros, versus learning the Ma'amarim, the teachings, the formal teachings, that the teachings, the frontal teachings, represent like almost like an academic corpus, like a thematic presentation of ideas that are deliberate and that are edited in such a way that they're, you know, representing really the core theology and philosophy and perspective of the one who's giving them over. A book that's written, and Rav Soloveitchik, you know, didn't have that many written, you know, books that he wrote himself in his lifetime, even though he was talking all the time and saying chidushim all the time, because to bring the moichin down, the consciousness down, to mitzamtzem it, to kind of crystallize it in a way which is coherent and structured. And writing is a real process of bir, of clarification. And writing chidushei Torah or a book, there's a certain formality and deliberate, you know, conscious effort to present an idea A and then B and then C and then D, and there's a table of contents, and maybe there's an index, and there's approbations, there's haskamot, right? And there's a cover to the book that's designed deliberately, right? That's not what these letters are. Rav Nosson's letters are just his soul bursts, his pouring out his guts to his children, to his friends, to his chevra, to those who are his students. He's writing during good times and during difficult times, and his life was a turbulent life. He's writing during times of fear, times of pain, when he was facing great opposition. He's writing in the face of crisis, of poverty, issues with Shalom Bayit, he's writing about. He's writing to his son when his son is going through a divorce and is newly divorced. He's writing to people who are suffering, you know, from infertility. He's writing to people who are suffering from poverty, and he's writing from prison. I mean, it's so raw, it's so open, it's so unscripted. It's Rabbi Natan himself, it's Rabbi Nosson himself. It's difference between like a letter, diary, which were published after his lifetime, after he was gone already. They collected the different letters from all of the chaverim and from his children. Some of the letters that we learned last year were really dramatic letters that came at like real turning points in Rav Nosson's life, toward the end of his life. So I thought this year to like kind of wheel it back a little bit. I traveled with the Sefer this year. Whenever I went somewhere and flew somewhere, the Sefer was with me. And there's a certain appreciation of communicating with people that you love, that you're far away from when you're on the road. And I'm going to wheel it back a little bit and learn from the beginning of the Michtavei Maharanat, Maharin Rav Nosson. This is a letter from 1822. He was a young man. He was around my age. It's the very beginning of the Sefer. It's before the part of the Sefer that's like the meat and potatoes, which are the years that Rav Nosson was like really coming into his own as a leader of the community. This is like, there's a few scattered letters from his younger years. He's writing to an old buddy of his, Reb Naftali. Now, just as by way of introduction, because this is kind of like I actually thought to skip the first part of the letter and get into the second part of the letter. But in Yonah Diyoma, I mean, this week's Parsha, if you have a Chumash somewhere, if anyone has a Chumash, let me pass it over. In this week's Parsha, there's a wild scene. I mean, it's really one of the nuttier episodes. What goes on, there's a lot, the Klal Yisrael is in the Midbar and enjoying eating from the man. Now, was the man good or was the man something to kvetch about? Survey says, whatever you wanted it to be and whatever you needed it to be, you want it, you got it. Groove is in the heart. And the man had all the flavors and all the nutrients, according to everybody, what they needed. Now, Klal Yisrael, I mean, we are creatures who complain in Malasot. And we started kvetching that like we didn't have exactly what we needed, and we're recounting a little bit of like our back end story of schlepping in the Midbar, and start complaining to Hashem that Lama Halisunam Mitzrayim Lamus Bamidbar, why'd you take it of Egypt? Out of Egypt, there was good watermelon in Egypt, we had good fish over there. In lechem, in mayim, it's not like we want the man. We want food. We want kelev cham. We want we want yapchik, whatever. We want to have the food the way we want food the way we had in Egypt, as if it was better there in Egypt. V'nafshenu katsa, and our literally we were short of breath. We shortchanged ourselves. We didn't access the entirety of ourself by getting into this constricted sense of perspective. And then this wild stuff happens. Hashem, in response to that, kvetching, complaining about his chasadim, what happens? There's a plague. Would anybody know what that plague looks like? What goes on there? What's happened? Anybody know the Parsha? What does it say in Sefer Olam Hamidos or in Sichos Bavodas Hashem? Snakes. Snakes all over. Snakes here, snakes there, snakes are going everywhere. That was not a knock on Olam Hamidos or Sichos Bavodas Hashem. No, it's like we could learn Chumash. Chumash, Lomdim Torah. Vishlach Hashem Ba'am as anachoshim hasrafim. Fiery snakes. It gets what? Fiery snakes. And these fiery snakes start biting people, and people start dying. A lot of people start dying. And they cry out to Moshe, and they say, Oy vey, these snakes are killing us. Vayispalel Moshe ba'ad ha'am. And then Moshe davens for the nation. This is like a cycle that's repeating itself over and over and over again. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, in this week's parasha, Aseh lecha saraf. Okay, so you're going to prepare some type of an image of this fiery snake, v'sim oto al Nace on a big pole. You know that sign of a snake around the pole? What's that a sign for? It's an international sign for refuah, for healing. There's some type of medicine here. There's some type of fixing. There's a healing that's going on. If you see that on a shield, you see that on a truck, unless it's in Gaza and they're transporting terrorists and artillery to kill Jewish children, Rahman al-Islam, everywhere else in the civilized world, in societies where life is valued over death, which is not in that community's tradition, that symbol represents health and a striving for life. All of those who were struck, all of those who were bitten by those fiery snakes as a punishment, they look up at this pole and they'll be healed. Right? That's like the symbol for Hatzalah. That's the symbol for in Israel for the corps of the army that are medics. Now, Vayas Moshe Nachash Nechoshet V'Simeo Al Hanes, and Moshe like made this copper snake image and wrapped it around a pole, put it up on top of a pole, and people looked up at it. He beat Al Nachash Nechoshes V'Chai, and people lived. They were healed. It's a miracle. Such a thing hadn't happened in the world since Avram Avinu had. Chazal tells us that the Medrash tells us that he had a healing gem around his neck. He wore it on his chest over his heart, and all of those who gazed upon this healing gem, the heart of the tzaddik, drew health and healing there. Moshe Rabbeinu kind of plays the same role over here. Now, the Mefarshim have a field day with this. The Gemara, Rashi brings it, Mefarshim, Rishonim, Achronim, get very excited about this whole situation and talk a lot about the role of medicine, healing, refuah, and health. As the Gemara says, hold on. Chi nachash memis mechaya. You look at this snake. The snake is what? Did the snake kill us? The snake is what's healing us? What's saving us? What's bringing us to life? Obviously not. And the Ramban talks about this a lot. That the goal was that we should have our attention drawn to this, like to this snake on the pole, to look upward. We should, you know, gaze heavenward and know that the source of life and the source of death comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The imagery of a snake that's chosen by Hashem, by God, as these fiery serpents to come and bite us, you know, restores a certain memory of our origin story and our fall from Gan Eden, with the Nachash HaKadmoni, that original separation of man from paradise, that original doubt that we had, so to speak, or that original rebellion, that original fall. Right, there's a meta narrative that's taking place in our parsha that's bringing us back to a place of not believing, of turning our back, so to speak, and of separating ourselves from who we really are and where we want to be. There's an exile of sorts that's conjured up here. Mechinachash, the snake, is Memis and Mechaya. Now, without going too far into this, there's a lot written in Breslov literature. There's a lot that's in Rabbi Nachman's corpus of thought, in Rabbeinu's Torah Dalet, other places, that where Rabbi Nachman talks about this imagery and uses the imagery in our parsha as a springboard for, I'm going to say, a conversation about health and well-being. A nice way to say it. Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Nachman was someone who, in his writings, giving the strongest message in Rabbeinu's Torah and Rabbi Nachman's Torah, is Emunah Hashem. Emunah in the Tzaddik and Emunah in oneself. A very dear friend who's coming out with an incredible book. It's really his dissertation. An incredible sefer about Amunas Atzma, about how we can build our self-confidence through Rabbi Nachman's teachings in the faith in Hashem and the faith in the Tzaddik. V'Emuna B'Hashem u'V'Moshe Avdo. And Al Yidei, Rabbi Nachman's whole thing, our Emuna B'Hashem and our Emuna in the Tzaddik, we're able to believe in ourselves and believe in our life and believe in our choices and believe in our existence and believe in our mitzvos, believe that what we do matters. Believe that Hashem is interested in us. And that's like a driving theme in Rabbi Nachman's Torah. And part of that is Rabbi Nachman's belief in our ability to live in a healthy way. Not just to eat our vegetables and get our vitamin D, not just to drink water but in our ability to fix and be healthy. The state of man, of mankind, is living in balance. Neshama beguf, living in balance and in peace with our reality in this world, is what Rabbi Nachman calls geula, redemption. When we're not living in a healthy way, when we're not living according to Ratzon Hashem, when we're, so to speak, fighting against like the world that we're in, so to speak, and our body and our soul are not working together, and we're not at peace with ourselves and our environment, and we're not living with the instruction book called Torat Chaim, instruction book for life, so to speak, when we're out of sync with the will of God, when we lack in faith, that's called exile. That's called being unhealthy. Okay? Want to follow that? Health is not just about, you know, body mass index and cholesterol level and blood pressure and circulation in the legs. Health means, how connected am I to my purpose in creation? How in balance am I? How balanced am I with my, you know, with my place in the world, with my relationships with other people? How in control am I? How much am I riding on the horse of my soul and body working together to navigate the reality of this world? When I'm in a place of distress and sadness, when I'm in conflict with everything around me, and I'm not comfortable in relationships, I don't feel right about my life, I don't feel in balance with my thoughts and with my ups and downs, I'm not navigating, I'm not surfing the world, so that's called being in exile. That's called being unhealthy. Healthy person is someone who's happy, who feels good about their life, who believes in their life. And with the mistakes and the ups and the downs and the here and the there and the what have yous, it's all part of that. And a healthy person is someone who's able to navigate that. So when Rabbi Nachman's talking about health, it's not just when Rabbi Nachman talks about being healthy. Rabbi Nachman talks about refuah. Not talking about, you know, like a person, you know, has an ingrown toenail, having to go to a podiatrist to fix it. We're not talking about going to an orthopedic surgeon to like set your shoulder if a person hurts playing basketball. That's very outside. That's reactionary health. That's fixing something that's broken. When Rabbi Nachman talks about refuah, it's coming from a much deeper place. It's not only talking about the guf, but also about the nefesh. Like the original Dr. Sarno. Dr. John Sarno is a contemporary medical professional. He was a Harvard-trained surgeon whose books on the mind-body connection, whose books about the intellectual and emotional and psychological root of wellness, really revolutionized the world. But Rabbi Nachman was talking about this a couple of years ago, in that health means that I'm besimcha, that I'm feeling confident, that I'm able to go to sleep at night feeling good about myself. I'm able to let go of mistakes. I'm able to be forgiving and kind with people. That being in the world, that with all of its existential difficulty and challenge, I'm able to navigate it in a way where I feel connected to all the good. I'm able to see the bright points. Rabbi Nachman's entire philosophy, theology, and approach to life is about being a healthy person, a ben adam bari. Being a ben adam bari in the world. And anxiety and fear and worry, guilt, the cause of sickness, of illness. That's called being an exile. It's someone who's anxiety and struggle to like overcome self-consciousness and being stuck, spinning wheels of negativity of our mistakes is called galut, and that's called being someone who's sick. Exile is a state of sickness. Klal Yisrael in exile is a state of illness. We're not who we want to be, where we want to be, what we want to be. We're not in balance. Things are out of whack. The body's in chaos. Like things aren't working right. Health means that a yid, that a person is mechubar, a person's connected and in balance, that things are in proportion. The body has an incredible ability to heal itself. An incredible ability. That if things are in, that if things are healthy, I don't know what else to say, things are going the way Hashem, so to speak, created nature, the body has an incredible way of being able to heal itself. So Rabbi Nachman's perspective on health is proactive. It's not just reactive. It's not dealing with sickness. It's living proactively in a way which is, you know, a person's in the world and in balance and besimcha. Shmartim od lanafshotechem is how we learn the halacha of being physically healthy. Lanafshotechem, the body has the great privilege of housing the soul. The body and soul together, neshama beguf, at the nefesh, which is the most physical expression of the soul, that has to be protected. And that's with sleeping properly, and eating properly, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're taking care of ourselves. It's about cultivating vitality, chiyus, an inner vitality. And being in intellectually and spiritually attached to our purpose and living with emuna. The opposite of that is called sickness. Now, Rabbi Nachman writes a lot about the role of doctors in all of this, the role of medical professionals in all of this. Considering it was over 200 years ago that Rabbi Nachman was saying these teachings, considering that Rav Nosson was in that same generation, in the very beginning of the 19th century, I don't think we have to apologize for that. I don't think that we have to use that to, like, you know, make peace with some of the more, you know, challenging statements that Rabbi Nachman makes about organized medicine and professional medicine and doctors from a contemporary perspective. Because if it's MS, it's MS, and tzaddikim tzaddikim, they said then, applies now. And we also have, you know, a reality of Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, Taz and Yardaya, there's a mitzvah asay, shmartim od lanafsho seichem. To go to a medical professional, a person's not well, a person doesn't feel well, not able to, you know, heal on our own with, you know, with the body healing. So we have to go and do our heshtadlus to go to a doctor. But v'chi nachash memes u'machaya, what, the snake on the pole is what gives us life or what takes away our life? God forbid. Now, Rabbi Nachman was somebody who spoke very strongly against doctors, very strongly against the field of medical practitioners. Now, there was a time in history where doctors were bloodletters. The Gemara describes it literally like put leeches on the body and open up parts of the body to let out morishchora, certain hues and certain parts of the blood that were believed to be causing illness, sickness, sadness, depression, negativity, which was what caused the physical ailment. Now, that we don't do that anymore. Right? But medicine is constantly changing, just like trends in health are constantly changing. When I was growing up, my father had high cholesterol because it's in his blood. My grandfather, who I'm named for, was Nifter, left the world very, very young. Part of it was he suffered terribly during World War II. He was injured as a Marine in World War II. It's his 50th year at site this month. He was injured in the Battle of the Bulge, and his body never really recovered. He tourniqueted up his leg behind enemy lines in the Battle of the Bulge in a foxhole in the winter, and then spent the rest of the war in a hospital. And the infections had a real effect on his body, but also it was a different era, a lot of red meat and smoking and chule chule. He died very, very young, 42 years old, my age. My father had a real sensitivity to cholesterol, to heart disease. I remember for the better part of my years ago, my father never ate, didn't eat eggs. No meat, no eggs. Because eggs cause cholesterol. Remember egg beaters? Egg beaters, sure, yeah. The little container of egg beaters, of egg whites, fake eggs. Because eggs were no good. Now, I just paid a guy 1,400 shekel a month to work out with and work in nutrition with me, and he's telling me, you gotta eat more eggs. You gotta be eating 4 eggs a day. You gotta eat 4 eggs a day, not including whites. So eggs. Eggs are good. It's good for your, it's good. This is the right type of protein. It's the right type of thing for digestion. Tell me eggs. And I'm trying, and I'm like, hold on, but eggs are bad for you. And he goes, no, that nowadays everyone's saying that eggs are the right type of protein. Avocados, good for you, bad for you. Back in the day, avocados, chas v'shalom, no one thought it's so fat. Better you should eat ringdings. There's less grams of fat in 4 ringdings than there are in avocado. MS. Right? Only Weight Watchers, they have the same, it's the same points of points. Even now they've changed it. Points of points. It's not. Nowadays they're saying, no, this is the right type of cholesterol, the right type of fat. This is the wrong type of fat. But it was like, even something like an avocado and an egg, they can't figure out. In health and in medicine, things are changing. In science, and this is the Lubavitcher Rebbe 101 on evolution and on dinosaurs and on the age of the universe. Science is theoretical, and it's proven, and it's considered fact until some other researcher or someone else comes up with another way and a bigger chiddush, another type of proof, and something else. So, it could be, and I'm not, I don't know. It could be that Rabbi Nachman's very strong statements against doctors were just this very simple statement of Chazal. I just know that Hashem is the healer, Hashem is the one who's meimis and mechaya. Hashem is the one who is the beginning and end of the story. And that is sometimes in Malasot, we got to go to a doctor, but just know, a doctor is a shaliach. And the Gemara in Brachos tells us that a doctor has permission, he's licensed, he has permission to treat. It was like, and if the Torah wouldn't say specifically that the doctor has permission to treat, then what are you getting involved in the way that Hashem is running the world? What kind of presumption do you have? V'tov aroshim l'gehenim. The best of the doctors, you know, because often one might think that they have the ability, the tools to do it, and forget the source of the knowledge and the ability, and the shlichus comes directly from Hashem. Chazal have a very strong sense in medicine, and this is not my area of expertise. It's just like by parenthetically, by way of introduction. That like our whole story in the parsha comes from Nafshenu Katsa. That right after there's this feeling of like we weren't comfortable with ourselves, we weren't okay, we were stuck, we were mitzvotzam, we were in a constricted sense of self and complaining and negative and filled with anxiety and filled with negativity. That's where the physical, that's when the plague comes. That's when the nachash strikes. Or is it practical? Is it metaphoric? I mean, the Ralbag says on Bereshis that the nachash HaKadmoni itself was a metaphor. Is this having to be taken literally, not literally, I don't know. But even Pshat Chumash is right after that internal sickness, that internal problem, comes the external physical manifestation. So when Chazal say that a person sticks their hand in their pocket and takes out a coin that was unintended, a person has mechish ba'alma, a person has a headache, you have to make a cheshben ha-nefesh, it's because it's the original John Sarno mind-body connection. Because sickness and wellness and health is not just about blood, but not just about white blood cell count, and it's not just about cholesterol, and it's not just about some number that they give us when we take an eye test. Right? It reflects something much deeper in nefesh. It's the body and soul that are working together as one entity. L'chod yididi avasik Reb Naftali, may your light ever shine. Odili chadashot. He had an alert on his phone, he had an app that pinged him with some piece of information, like a newsies. Hear you, yeah, hot off the presses. Daily chadashot, shuchoshesh beinav, verilis palalav. Heard that not feeling well. Heard that you're not feeling well, under the weather. Mizet tayru v'tavinu. It's right away. Heard that there's something here that you're uncertain about. Heard that there's something here that you feel suspicious, that something's not right. Here, teruv tavinu. Kama tzrichin lesrachek midaktorim. How much you have to stay away from doctors. My grandmother, she should be well, always says, you know, when she wasn't feeling well, don't take me to the hospital. I'm not going to go to the hospital and die there. I'm fine here. I don't have to go take me to the hospital. You get sicker and you get sicker and you get sicker. They call it a Beit Cholim. They call it a Beit Cholim, an infirmary. We call it a Beis Refuah. The world sees these places as places of being infirm, sick house, a place that if you're broken, you go. How far we have to stay from doctors. Farichanti Ritzit L'shloach Lo. I wrote you a prescription. He said, I'm going to write you a prescription, okay? Here you go. I heard that you're not feeling well and you're having like, you're stuck a little bit, you're spinning wheels. You're not feeling right. I'm going to write you a receipt. All right, here's a receipt to give him. Klal a receipt here. Here's the receipt. Here it is. Here's the prescription. Number one, Shlo yikach shum refuah. Don't take any medicine. Number two, Shlo yikach shum refuah. Don't take any medicine. Number three, Shlo yikach shum refuah. V'chulei, v'chulei. Don't, stop. You're fine. Don't take any medicine. Nothing. Stop. You're going to go to a doctor and think that you're going to take a pill and that's going to fix things. You're going to go and check yourself into somewhere and the doctor's going to say, wave his magic wand, and it's going to be a crapshoot that here's something I can try to help you with and fix you with. Now, it's not to say that chalila, that if a person needs medical attention, you go to a doctor. When you get checked out, you go to a doctor. We all go to doctors. We all believe that that the basic hashtadlus, the Taz and Yoredeya, says that it's a kiyum d'oraisa to go to a doctor to be healed. Rav Nosson, we don't know who Rav Nosson's writing to. He's writing to Naftali about someone else. Naftali is looking at this guy and saying, it's in his head. His back hurts. He has a backache. Can't get out of bed in the morning. You go to a doctor. Get a doctor. He's not well. Not wellness is not just a physical ailment. It's expressing itself. There's an internal reality that's manifesting itself in some external way. But there's a bayat nafshi. Now, Baruch Hashem, we have doctors who are Yirei Shamayim. This is Ukraine 180 years ago. Yidden were not doctors. Frumi Yidden were not doctors. Now, thank God, we have doctors of every type who are Yirei Shamayim. And we have psychologists and therapists who are Yirei Shamayim. Now, it's interesting. Actually, the Achronim talk about doctors. Do you have to go to a doctor who's a mamin or not? There's questions that are posed in Chubas. Do you have to go to a doctor who's a mamin or not? Do you have to go to a doctor who's a believer in God or not? What do you say? Vadai shalom. You can go to a doctor who's the best doctor. That's the halacha l'maisa. You go to the best specialist that you can get. The best specialist you can get. Jewish, not Jewish. But their belief system is they are a tool for the Ribbono Shel Olam. But when it comes to a matter of nefesh, when it comes to a therapist, when it comes to someone who is helping you work through issues of whatever it may be, internally, what type of a doctor do we seek out for that? So I'm not paskening. I'm not an expert. But in my humble experience, Shavim Od. Somebody who can heal from the inside out and guide from the inside out with a respect for the soul, with a respect for the divine nature of the soul, with an understanding and an awareness for their own limitations as a person who can uncover the secrets of the soul. Someone who approaches it with a sense of humility and an appreciation for the area that they're getting into. Someone's going to drill your teeth. You want someone who knows what the tooth is all about. Someone's going to fix your shoulder. You want somebody who knows the bone structure of the shoulder and the neck. A good orthopedic surgeon. No, but when it comes to the nefesh, when it comes to the inner world, thank God we're in a generation where there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the inner world. And Baruch Hashem, our community is blessed with people who are aware of that. Who are aware that it's not the snake. That it's not the snake. So it could be that Reb Nosson is trying to say to this person, brother, read the John Sarno book and know that like the backache that you have, a lot of it is in your head. You're holding on to old aggression. You're holding on to old grudges. You're stressed out at work. You're unsatisfied in your marriage. You're not feeling good about where you're up to professionally or personally. There's self-criticism. V'chule, v'chule, v'chule. The mind-body connection. There's something there internally that we're doing to ourselves. You don't need to go to a back surgeon. You need to work through and untie these knots that are inside of your heart and in your head, in our heads and in our hearts, and let go of this, so to speak, and to do tshuva. Not for averus, but to restore a sense of health and balance in the world, of well-being, healthy, that you're okay, you're a chelok elokam ma'al, you're drawn, you're beloved by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and whatever you think you broke, you could fix. You need the tzaddik emes. You need the eitz of the tzaddik emes. You need the word of truth from the tzaddik, that there's no such thing as giving up hope, and that Hashem is creating the world every second, again and again, and we can always start again, and we can always fix. And not to hold on to old mistakes and to old trauma and to work through it and to believe that we could start again. Don't run right away, reactionary, first thing, I have to go quickly, numb my pain and escape the real work. But to do the work internally while whatever's happening from the outside in the world of traditional refuah. Gam she'elech dafka l'mikveh. Please go to the mikveh. Hashem Yisbarach Yirachem Olav Yishlachu Rufu Shleimim Heir Min HaShamayim. Say Amen. And by the way, he says, as a good father, I haven't heard from my son Yitzchak. No, what's the story? Tell him to send what's up. Let him know. And imitzapa l'shma tov mito. Zulat ze. Besides this, ein l'chadesh. I got nothing else to say. Now, I wanted to skip this. My first thought was to skip this part of the letter, just because, you know, people get uncomfortable. Like, we're so comfortable and self-assured. We live with such certainty in our modern world. We have all this information. We have everything on Wikipedia. We know everything. There's experts, and everything is great, and it's covered by insurance and whatever. We just fix it. And sometimes we get disconnected from the root, from the source of illness and the source of health, which is Hashem. There's tzaddikim living in our generation who literally transcended physical illness with emunah. And everyone has to know where they are in the world. I go to doctors, kids go to doctors, negotiated my contract to make sure that I had the ability to get good insurance, believe in it. And when we have a headache, yesh inyan, that first moment does not run to get aspirin, but that first moment to stop for a second and feel the headache. And to know that the headache didn't come stop. I don't know why. I don't know where. I don't know how. Explain it biologically, perhaps, or not. But to know that everything that our body is telling us is a message. Everything our body is telling us is a message. I'm not presumptuous to know what that message is. I'm not a prophet. But that's what it was in Torah. Throughout Nevi'im. Throughout Ksuvim. When people were sick. I mean, the kings, we have this all the time with Malachim, kings, Asa and Chizkiyah Melech, when they fall ill, they're either criticized or praised by their reaction of how they handled their illness. Whether they turned to Hashem and did Shuva, or immediately went to go try to find some type of, you know, magic potion. They turned to the Navi to identify the root cause of what that illness is, of where that exile is. Something's out of sync. The body and the nefesh are somehow out of sync, and that's causing this illness. And we don't know. But to make a cheshbon nefesh and simuleva on the shama, to look inward, as opposed to running to some guy, a doctor, who's going to tell me what's wrong with me from the outside, first things first. First things first. To turn to Hashem, to know that it's not the snake that's maimus and mechaya, but to think about a restoration of proactive physical and spiritual health. Oh yeah, by the P.S., Nassim continues here. Gam odia lachem chadashot me'ata. We have an update. Guys, news update. News update. You ready? I'm not saying news update. It's from 1822, but it's alive. It's ready. You ready for this? Gam odia lachem chadashot me'ata. It's like the 10-10 winds, like typewriter noise in the background. Do! Kiyesh elukim shalit ba'aretz ba'shamayim mi'al v'ala'aretz mitachat. There is a God in heaven that creates and sustains and rules over the world, above and below. Chai la'ad v'kayam la'netzach, an eternal God. Hashem that's real. That our lives are being lived on in the context of divine reality. Yishtabach shemo la'ad. His name be praised forever. V'kesef ha'zahav, ha'kol evel. Money, whatever you're worried about, that you have a backache over, whatever your headache is about, whatever your heartburn is about, whatever aggravation and anxiety and sadness and like distraction you have over this rat race, this hamster wheel of like money, hevel. It's hevel. It's emptiness. V'afal pi sherov ha'olam hem mipnei ha'medina shel ha'shirus, even though the whole world is Amerikayim, part of the Medina shel ha'shirut, Walmart generation, everybody's consuming and buying and supersizing to fill a big empty space inside. Shemis loads to mesichos kelo that make fun, that scoff at such talk. You know, people like look and it's like, okay, yeah, good, no, it's good, nice, good, cute, dibure emuna yafeh, but like whatever, you know, who feel self assured with their bank accounts, and we feel safe when we have, you know, a lot of extra savings, we feel stable because of our money and our possessions and our big houses. Just know, it's their choice if they want to put their shoulder under the burden of hell in this world. That's fine. I mean, like, it's your choice. They can live like that. That's fine. And you have a few hours free, and like, hey, what should I do? I don't know. I'll go walk around the mall and see what we don't need to see if maybe we should buy. And maybe I'll go buy a few things on Amazon. I'll feel better about myself. And hopefully I'll make my nefesh, like, I'll satiate my soul that way. And distract myself from the real pain that I have, that I'm stuck outside of Gan Eden, that the world is in a place of Churban, that I don't feel like I'm in balance with my reality. I don't believe in my Torah mitzvahs. I don't believe in my tefillah. So I'll go buy more stuff or eat more stuff or play more games to try to fill that. Chole! That's called sick! I'll go run to the doctor, I'll go run to the mall, I'll go buy more stuff, whatever it may be, more stuff I don't need. It's a choice. It's a bechira. It's a choice. We're not living consciously. We haven't read Living in the Present 6-8 times yet. Read it once. Good. I read another book. No, you read it again. And then again. And talk about it. And live with it. To know that every moment there's a choice. I don't have to be sick. I did 2 lines of Oreos. I don't have to do a third. Spent 2 hours in the YouTube rabbit hole. I don't have to watch another 15 minutes. I don't have to go. I have a choice. Every moment there's a choice. I can choose to be healthy. I can wake up tomorrow morning and get on the floor and stretch. And go around the track once today. One more time. I'll go around the track one time. You can sit in a comfortable posture and take a deep breath and be a little bit more healthy. Mavad Mashiel Yom Adin. Oh, in the end of the day, we're going to pay the bill. V'sof Yeshuvu Heima Aleinu. You'll see. In the end, everyone's going to come around. At the end, like when it's all said and done, in the end of the day, like you'll see what's hevel and what's real. We know what lasts and what doesn't. You can be ting tot. You can be buried with it. You can be buried with the car. You can be buried with the nochasut, with another pair of shoes. You can be buried with like another, like more stuff. We're not going to be buried with it. You leave it for our kids, they can fight about it. Darn Shiva, who needs that? Kfar Mar David HaMelech, Olav HaShalom, and King David said, Al Tira Ki Yashir Ish, don't worry. Everybody said, like, yeah, but look at them, they have this, they have that, look how happy they are, look how much they have. Al Tira Ki Yashir Ish, Yar B'Kvod Beso. It's the end of the Pasuk. No, I don't think they have so much kavod, and they have so much stuff, and they have so much money. What's the rest of the Pasuk with the next Pasuk, Tilim and Memtes? Kilo bimoso yikachako. It's not taking it with us. It's not going to end. It's just not a little more distraction, a little bit more schmear, a little bit more distraction, a little bit more noise, fill a little bit more of the space, a little bit more of the hole. Another couple pills, and hopefully we'll feel better. Lo yirei acharav kavodo. That's not going. That's not what we take with us. What we take with us are those, is the emunah. I think with us is the Kiddush Hashem, is the Kvod Shemayim we do, with our Torah, with our mitzvahs, with our chasadim. that we smile, that we're compassionate with people, when we're kind. All that we have is what we give away, what we share with others. If somebody makes fun of this, okay, yeah, right. Let's see how tough you are when you have college tuition to pay for. Let's see who it is, and you have your daughters get older and they want clothing. Let's see how kind of a big talker you are. If they're going to make fun of you, their mouths will be filled with gravel soon enough. That means they'll be under the ground soon enough, and their mouths are filled with gravel. Don't worry. Meaning, like, there's no pulling of punches here. It's not like a meaningful minute, friends. This is not like, you know, whatever. There's no nice. It's not gonna. It's not it. It's not like. This is it. He's saying straight. Rav Nosson is the. How is he could talk so straight? How could Rav Natan talk so straight? It's not right. You're talking like this. Rav Nosson spent every day of his life talking to Hashem. When someone speaks to Hashem straight, and says really what's up, and we cut through the baloney, and we kind of like, we cut the niceties, and we leave out all the hors d'oeuvres, and we cut straight to the real thing, and tell Hashem really what we're up to, really what we're happy with, really what we're upset about, really what we're disappointed in, really what we feel we're lacking, real insecurities, real ugliness. And then when we dig through all that, we get to the real beauty and the real hope. We say it honestly to Hashem, so then we're not embarrassed to say it honestly among people. The posing is done. We've removed the mask. Now I can talk like a man. I can talk like a human being. I can talk straight. Rav Nosson's talking straight. He's being mechazik his friend Naftali, saying, "Brother, don't worry about it. Stick to what's right and what's real. Let's do us. We're people who are trying to live with emunah. And what? Everyone's looking at us like we're a little bit weird, like we're a little crazy because we're doing things a little bit differently. Don't worry. In the end of the day, and he's building himself up. Nimale piyam chatzatz." Somebody whose source of self-confidence, whose sense of self, whose sense of being in the world is that because they have money, they have a big bank account, or they have a fancy degree from somewhere, or they have a nice car, or a cool pair of shoes, or lo yodea ma, their daddy has money. If that's our bitachon, if that's how we feel good and feel safe and that I could do the world, mishenet kane ratzutz. It's made out of chaff. It's gonna crumble. We're holding ourselves up with a cane that's made of straw. Ela berechev, ela besusim. This with cars and this with their strong armies. Vanachnu, Shem Hashem naskir. There's no escape from the world. A person can't escape with the world. Not on vacation, not with pills. It's the same by all of us. Every home, it's the same by all of us. It doesn't matter if you go with a davening jacket, the Chassidish family, a modern family, Zionists, Peleg Yerushalmi. It is what it is. There's other problems there, but we're all in the same boat. Person is a person. We're all out of the same Gan Eden, trying to get back there. It's all the same snake that's biting us. The same nafshenu katsa. We're all trying to restore health. We're all trying to figure out whether we should eat eggs and avocados and busy with that, and then in the end of the day, knock off half a can of Pringles. Add that up. Kim el Hashem yizbarach v'Torah levad. There's nothing else. The only thing that's real is Hashem and Torah, and the relationships that are formed through that. The chol bayit in every home. We've spoken about this. Kasher kverachnu sichaseinu mizahar bay. We talked about this, Naftali. How many times we talk about this already? Vadayin tzrichin lachzor uludaber zot bechol yom. Diburei emunah, talking about Hashem, talking about our life, talking about our mortality. Talking about the frailty of the human condition. The human body is so frail. A little bit this way, a little bit that way. You know, you work in the medical building. A little bit this way, a little bit that way. That which is closed should be open, and open and closed. You can't even stand for a moment. Life is so tenuous, it's so frail. It's okay, you're allowed to talk like this. We can talk open, we can talk real. Life is frail. Even our righteousness, even our goodness, it's frail. We can make mistakes like that. A human being like that in the wrong place at the wrong time. The someone sees we have a moment of weakness. Tamin ba'atzmacha ad yom moscha. Until it's over, it ain't over. We're frail. So we have to talk about Hashem. We have to ask Hashem for help. We have to ask our friends for help. We have to create an environment among the people that we're close to in our homes with our friends of honesty, of talking real, of building ourselves up, of strengthening ourselves. Vaklal ki adam la'amol yulad. Here's the bottom line. The rule is we're born to work. It's not easy. It's not meant to be easy. Ashrei mi she'amalu b'Torah. Fortunate are the ones who spend their time working in Torah and a Torah way of life. This is not like a downer. This is the most real talk that there is. Hashem should help us just all be healthy, and our family should be healthy. We shouldn't need to go to doctors. And if we go to a doctor, we should go to a great doctor and have good insurance to cover it. And it should go easily and smoothly. But like even that sometimes, like I there have been medical things, we had things in the family, like medical things, like it's so much to do with like this specialist, that doctor, that referral. My mother was diagnosed with cancer. You can see cancer, Yenamak cancer, diagnosed with cancer, with breast cancer. And it was like my father, my father was the only one who knew. They went straight from the doctor. My father went straight to a friend in Teaneck's house, a guy who has a lot of connections in the community. He sat down with him. First things first, he said, "Here's what we're up to. This is what they said, you know. And here's what I need for. I need you to find the right, get line up the right people." And he did. He lined up the top, you know, this specialist in Sloan Kettering, and this specialist here, and this hematologist, and all the different things. And then my father picked up the phone. The second phone call he made was he called me. I'm the oldest. He said, "I just came from so and so." This is how the conversation went. He goes, "I'm going to share something direct with you. It's a heavy piece of information, but I need you to step up now and get your head straight and just get with this." I'm like, "Okay." Mother's sick. She has cancer. She has this. You know, this is where it's up to. He said, "I just came from so and so's house. He's lining up the best two doctors in Sloan Kettering. Should have that in place by tomorrow." He said, "I was in Israel." He said, "Now I need you to go do your thing." "Go do my thing?" He said, "Go do your thing. Go to the Kotel. Go to Kever Rachel." I don't know if he said that. He said, go to the Kotel. Go to your places. Go to your people. Like, put it in motion. Like, put it in motion." He's like, we need Hashem to make this happen. That's what he said. "We need Hashem to make this happen." He did. Called Rebbetzin Machlis. I think I sent a message to Ryakmer Shechter. I went to the Kotel, to Kever Rachel, to Kever Dan. Kinachash Memes Mechaya. There's a shtadlus, and then there's knowing what the core of the root of that shtadlus is. We have to do everything we possibly can do. And remember that in the end of the day, it's all Hashem. Beginning, middle, and end. Ein od milvado. There's no such thing. When people would come to the Lubavitch Rebbe and say, "The doctor told us there's no hope," and the Rebbe would say, "No such thing as a doctor. What is he? No such thing as a doctor. Who's he? What does he know? The doctor can give a prognosis and tell you, you know, God forbid, that something is serious. But ma, we believe in Nisim. We believe in miracles. No such thing. It ain't over till it's over. Afilu cherev chadamunach al tzavrecha al teratzuchem arachem," and the Gemara says, even if the sword is on the throat, there's no such thing as it's too late. Hashem can do it all. We believe afal pishis v'me'im kozeh hachakelo v'chol yom sheyavo. The person doesn't believe the Mashiach coming any second. There's a pegam in our amuna. We don't, it's comfortable for us to think about Mashiach in that way. Yeshua Hashem kerif ayin. I mean, this is Jewish consciousness. This is Jewish philosophy. It's not very 2019. It's not very practical all the time or pragmatic in our contemporary milieu. But it is. Living inside out, the mind-body connection, the recognition that these fiery serpents are waking us up to the original illness, to the original sin, to the original separation between man and God, the original separation between husband and wife, the original pirud, the original galus, the original chola, is to awaken us to recognize that we can heal, that we can fix. The body can fix itself. With siyat nishmaya, we can be healthy. And if the shluchim l'makom, so even better. Hashem can do it anyway. So Reb Nosson says as follows. We'll end with this. I want to remind you, he says, Reb Naftali. I want to remind you. Umar shechatavta, far top. B'chol zot, rak b'simcha, far top. Far top literally means, hop means simcha, freilach. Be b'simcha. You're not feeling good, you're struggling, tell this person far top. Like to be b'simcha. Is the bottom line of the prescription is that simcha is the greatest refuah. That's what Reb Nachman says. Bring Lukutei Eitzos, Lukutei Moran, and Lukutei Tfilos, Reb Nosson writes it, Lukutei Halachos, he writes it, letters, he writes it over and over again. That inside-out healing comes from a recognition that Hashem controls the world, runs the world, is our partner, is our father, is our lover. We are his children, that we are part of this incredible story called my life. There's great joy in that, even if it's painful, and even if there's something that's hard. There's great joy and solace and comfort and strength in the recognition, in the machshava, that this is part of Hashem's plan. That's emunah. Far top, tiyeh b'simcha, stay positive. Don't go to the Beit Cholim, go to the Beis Refuah. Know that Hashem is the one who's the chief doctor. You know that that the way people talk about Rabbi Nachman, say that, you know, the reason Rabbi Nachman is in our generation is the Shlomo Kalbach said that everybody has two rabbis. Nowadays everyone has two rabbis. You have whoever your rabbi is and Rabbi Nachman. I'd say similarly, but that there's the rabbi. Everyone knows that the rabbi is the rabbi, Lubavitch rabbi. And then everybody has two rabbis. You have Rabbi Nachman and whoever your personal go-to is. And for such a generation with such sickness and such ailment and such anxiety and sadness and confusion and such pain and such empty spaces inside, we need the biggest doctor. We need a big doctor with a big gem around his neck. Right? So it was a holding a pole with a snake on top of it. That's Rabbi Nachman. That's the true tzaddikim. True tzaddikim are able to. We're able to look at them and see this gem around their neck and see this copper snake and know, you see this snake, this Nachash HaKadmoni that tells us we're no good, that reminds us of our mistakes from Gan Eden, that reminds us that we left Gan Eden, we're thrown from Gan Eden. Look at it, it's a piece of copper on a stick. We can make him Nachash Memes Mechaya. The Nachash is what knocked us out of Gan Eden. The Nachash is going to get us back to paradise. The Nachash is the reason why we're bitten and we're sick. No, the Nachash is the reason why we're going to be healed. No, it's all the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we look toward the Tzaddikim. We see that big gem around the neck of Avraham Avinu. We see the light that's shining from him and from it. We know how good we are. We know how good the world is. We know what Hashem wants, wants what's good for us. It fills us with simcha and with emunah. And a recognition that, like, all of the illness and all of the sickness and all of the doubt and all of the alienation and all of the fear and the anxiety and all that self-loathing and all the guilt that we have, that's sickness. That's what's making us not in balance with the world. That's separating neshama from guf. That's separating Klal Yisrael from Eretz Yisrael. That's what's separating husband from wife. That's what's separating us from finding our soulmates and from finding real happiness. That's what's separating Am Yisrael and Hashem, Neshama Beguf. Far top. Hold on and be besimcha. Emes v'tzedek v'yatziv v'nachon v'kayam. Ashrecha im techazek. Ashreinu if we're able to strengthen ourselves. How fortunate we are if we're able to hold on to these words. No doctors, just the tzaddikim. Just the tzaddikim, just the eights of the tzaddikim. No, don't go for the easy way. Adam la amul yulad. Let's not be afraid to dig in and do the hard work of excavating from within ourselves a beautiful, precious gem that'll be a source of healing, of peace, of joy, and emirat Hashem of geula shleima. Chaim, everybody.